Your whip about to get rocking. Your smile about to be popping. Lit times for your drive, no maybes. Just yes, so release the stress.
Gary and Tommy about to go off.
Gary and Tommy are about to start another fun journey in the podcast. And no matter where you are on your health journey, NIB will help you live health first. Put your health first and join NIB today. Visit nib.com.au. Carrie Bickmore
and Tommy Little.
This is Gary and Tommy.
Yes, welcome to it for your Thursday afternoon. How are we, guys?
Such a big show ahead.
Isn't it?
Gold medalist joining us.
Oh, my gosh, for a second. Because you know how usually when you say it's a big show, it's because you haven't looked at the whiteboard and you don't know what's actually in it.
I always know. You never know.
That's not true. I know.
Whenever, guys, if you're listening now and you ever hear Tommy say, lots more still to come, that means he has got no idea what's still to come.
That's not true. It's that it was Carrie's job to tease what's coming up next. And she looks at me and goes, something, anything. And so then I say, heaps more still to come.
I'm fascinated, though, about what's about to happen next.
Heaps more still to come. No.
You have to tease this properly because this is like, you got me hooked at breakfast when you told me this story.
So if anyone listening has ever just fantasized, oh, my God, I would love to ride off into the sunset, start a new life somewhere. I've got a real life story of a bloke who did it, how he did it, and how you could copy it. I don't think we can go into that. Anyway,
kids, don't worry. Mum's not going anywhere.
Carrie and Tommy.
The drive home for your Thursday afternoon. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Heaps still to come on the show. But right now, Bickers, I want to tell you about something I watched. Now, there is a slight spoiler alert with this, but...
Now, you told me this and it still made me want to go watch it.
Well, the bit I'm going to tell you happens... halfway through the first episode. There are three episodes. Plus, it's on HBO Max. Nobody has that. So, you know, whatever.
So where did you see it?
Watched it on a plane. Oh, I'm an international traveler. Yeah. Anyway, this man, it's called the Invisible Pilot, right? And this pilot is a crop duster, which always makes me laugh because that is what we call
it.
So
are you.
That's what we call it when people fart and walk around a party to walk away from their fart. Crop dusting the whole party. Anyway, this man is a crop duster in the traditional sense of the word, which is one of the hardest ways to fly a plane.
Because you've got to stay low to the ground or something?
It's just so dangerous.
Right.
Because the weight changes in the plane so much. And
as you get rid of the fluid that you're dusting your crops with.
And it's low to the ground. Right. There's often obstacles around, things like power and stuff like that. Anyway, he's basically a super hot pilot. He gets gout, which means...
his toes are going to fall off.
Yes.
Yep.
He finds out that there is a cure for gout.
Yep.
This is what they say in the documentary. This is certainly not the medical advice that I'm giving out, which is cocaine. Right.
Right.
This is in the. I'm not allowed to say this. This is in the '70s.
Yep.
In America.
Okay.
Right. I don't know if it's still the cure.
Ask your doctor.
If only we had someone around with gout. Oh, no.
Ask your drug dealer, surely.
Oh, sorry.
Anyway, long story short, he starts needing to buy that to cure his gout so he can keep flying his plane because otherwise
it's too
toes. Painful. You need your feet. Yes. He gets busted with drugs and he's going to go to jail. And he thinks, you know what? I don't want to go to jail. So what do I do? I know what I do. I get out of the car while my kids are in the car and my wife is in the car and I fake
you
my...
You didn't tell me that bit.
I fake my
I
own
I told dad. The kids She's... not to worry about mum leaving.
No, this is dad. Mum's dad.
This is stuff of nightmares for poor kids.
And she's in on it. The kids aren't. Kids know nothing. They're little
Mum's
kids.
In on it.
Mum is in on it because she's like, yeah, I don't want you to go to jail either. So let's just fake your own death, right? Throws a bunch of clothes in the river off the bridge. Yep.
Oh, my God, you didn't tell me that bit either.
Yeah, yeah, tactic. I didn't think you'd let me talk about it on air if I told you all of it. Remember?
Yes.
I told you he said the cure for gout was broccoli. Anyway, it was cocaine.
So her and they make it look like he's drowned.
Yes, they make it look like he's jumped off the bridge and drowned, right? And then there's a phone box in town that he calls once a month at this specific time. She goes, gets a call, end up going and meeting with him overseas, right? And they start a new life.
With the kids? Tell me the kids came.
Sure.
Oh, my God. No, did the kids not come? Oh. So they meet up, what, in a neutral?
Again, I don't want to give away too much. I told you it was Hawaii.
Stab in the dark. What a fun place to have a new life.
But he decides, he gets so angry because he needed his drugs for medicinal purposes, and he gets so angry with the government for the idea of locking him up for something he needed for medicine, he decides his new career is to become the biggest drug runner the world's ever seen. Anyway.
So hold on.
To find out the rest?
No, I need to know. A bit you didn't tell me.
The Invisible Pilot.
So then, but he's alive now? Is he in prison or is he?
Oh my God, Jesse. What? To find out the rest, you need to
You're not doing an ad for the show. You've said no one's watching it. It's on HBO Max or whatever.
They're not before I signed a promotional deal with them.
No. Oh, come on.
I haven't got to the end of it if I'm telling the truth. I haven't. Okay. You know I'm like.
But he's obviously being interviewed in this, the man. So he's alive. It's just you don't know whether it's from inside prison or outside prison.
No, he's the invisible part, so you can't tell whether he's really being interviewed or not.
It's just a pair of shoes sitting there.
It's just that people care to know if he made it out alive because if you're planning your escape, you want to know it ends well.
But he wants people to think that they're dead.
HBO Max, that's not the bit I want to talk about. Bickers.
Yeah.
I want to know, on 131060, have you faked your own death? Because remember, this would be one of those things no one would expect to get calls on, right? But remember when we did calls on have you died before?
Yes.
And we had all these people.
But that's a bit realistic because people do have heart attacks and things and
die. We can do have you died but not have you faked died.
Faked your death's a pretty, like, creative thing to do in life.
You're saying he's the only creative one? Oh, mate, you haven't even given 7 seconds.
If they're making a doco about him, it must be a very rare thing.
I think there's a lot of plus sides to it, though.
Faking your own death?
Yeah.
Yeah, heaps. You wouldn't have to put up with this crap anymore.
Is this your dream? The Invisible Pilot. This is what you want your life to be, don't you?
I'm trying to get more tits.
No one's calling.
Anyway, my couch's flaring up.
No, they can't call because parents are trying to cancel their kids to let them know that they're not running away.
131060. Have you faked your own death? We're going to hear from these dead people next.
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy driving you home for your Thursday afternoon. And on 131060, have you faked your own death?
And I know what you're thinking. Oh, God, we've heard this on every radio network this afternoon. Anyway, we're having a crack at it. This is because I watched a show called The Invisible Pilot on HBO Max, and the bloke fakes his own death. And I thought, I wonder, we've got a connection to everyone in Australia at the moment. Every single person, and surely some of our gorgeous fellow countrymen or women, I'm guessing more likely the men, have faked their own death.
I'm surprised how many people have actually called. Surely no one's gone to the elaborate lengths he has.
Well, let's find out.
He threw his clothes in a river and escaped Hawaii.
Yes. He also hypnotized. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm getting sidetracked. G'day, Bob.
How you going?
Yeah, pretty good. Bob, have you faked your own death?
I have. I'm not as elaborate as what you have said, but yeah, I've done it before.
Why?
Well, you know how you sign up for one of them gym memberships?
Oh, they're hard to get out of, Bob, aren't they?
They are. They kept hounding me and kept calling me and ringing me on private number. Then I didn't put no money in the account, so they called up one day and I've put my hand on my throat to, like, change my voice. And I've said, look, sorry. Can't make payments anymore. Bob's passed on.
Oh, Bob.
Did it get you out of it, Bob?
Yeah, I didn't stop trying to take money. I got no more calls.
That's beautiful. The great lesson for everyone out
just
there.
Just as well you didn't press too hard.
And then actually died making your own death. Good on you, Bobby. Thank you. Who you got, Pickers?
Zena. Oh, Zena. Hello.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
So Tommy thought this would only be guys calling up who faked their own death. Have you faked your own death?
No, I haven't, but my husband.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
What happened?
What did he do?
Well, we were being intimate and it was my turn next. And,
oh, my God.
I thought that he was just relaxing and he wasn't. I thought that he died.
Hold on.
And I was shaking him and I was like, oh, my God, what the hell has just happened?
Did you think?
Then I was freaking out, panicking. And then, like, it felt like 10 minutes, but it probably would have been, like, a minute or so. And then, like, I don't know, he started breathing. I don't know how that happened. Yeah. And then, yeah, you know, with all of that, I was freaking out. So then, you know, nothing happened.
Did you think, Zena, for a second, that you did such a good job that you actually killed him?
No. No. Like, I should have thrown him in the river.
Remember Matthew McConaughey's dad died on the job?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Didn't he? Yes.
Yes. I mean, what a way to go. Michael. Is that how you want to go, Michael?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is many years ago. I didn't fake my own death, but I faked a friend's death.
Great.
So I was chefing in a restaurant in Lygon Street, and there was just no way in hell that the boss was going to give me the day off.
Yeah.
So I didn't even bother asking because, you know, no one gets time off being a chef. And I wanted to go to the Midsummer Festival or something.
Yeah.
So I prearranged for my friend to ring my work at a certain time and say that you need to speak to me. So I got called into the office and she sort of said, oh, your friend's died in a motor bike accident.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so I went into the whole Meryl Streep, the shock, the tears, the everything.
Oh, Michael.
The festival was great.
To go with death, couldn't it?
I had to get the day off, and that was the only way I had to do it.
I'd be too scared, Michael, that there'd be some karma associated.
Oh, Bickers, we're trying to have fun. Michael, you don't have to put
no,
up with this.
No, but you know you're just joking about something. Yeah, no.
We're trying to have fun.
Yeah, no.
I bet the festival was fun.
Yeah, was the festival fun, Michael?
Well, it was fun, but the worst thing about so he took me, so he let me go because I said I have to go, and he goes, yeah, sure, look, have a drink of water before you go, and just sit here for 10 minutes. I'm like, okay, well, she's waiting around the corner for me with a change of clothes. So then, and I'm high kicking out the door. And then the next day in the front page of the Herald Sun,
oh
you can't
God.
Make me up, but I'm in the crowd. There's a picture of me.
Oh, my God. Sucked in, Michael.
Thank you, Michael. Shall we finish off with Nathan? Yeah. G'day, Nath.
G'day, how's it going?
Yeah, so good. What happened?
Oh, well, it was a fair while ago now. It was back when I was 18. I was a painter at the time.
Yes.
And I had been working flat out, and I was getting really sick of my job. I thought, geez, I've got to get out of this somehow. So I started having a few sickies, and I, you know, my boss was hounding me to come back to work. And anyway, so what I ended up doing was I got my brother to get in contact with my boss, Fitzy, and reorganized him to say, oh, listen, Nath's passed away.
What are you all doing? You're all scared of confrontation, aren't you? That's what this is.
You just don't want to work,
mate. That's why you love this story so much.
You're brave. They're not scared of death.
Well, next week, Jesse's going to have to call you and say, I'm dead.
Carrie and Tommy.
On your radios and the listener app for your Thursday arvo, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
I discovered something about my nan at her funeral that I never knew about her.
Still alive?
Oh, well, why do you look sad? That's good.
No, she's passed. Thank you. Anyway, we had a very close relationship.
Yeah, it wasn't recent.
And it was actually sad because I couldn't make it to her funeral because I was pregnant with Evie. But don't worry, you laugh over there. I will tell you what that thing was I discovered next. You asshole.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy driving you home for your Thursday afternoon.
So my nana. My beautiful nana, Loris. This is not a funny story, so I don't know why you're laughing.
Why?
It leads to a funny story.
Why are you just bringing us a sad story?
I'm not, because there's a reason for it. It's not even that. It's just sad because she's dead. But the story itself is more bad on my part. Okay? Nan did nothing. Nana was the most beautiful, selfless woman ever. Mm-hmm. Okay? And I miss her every day.
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
Yes.
Her name was Loris.
L-O-R-I-S,
I thought. So I lived on the opposite state. I lived on the opposite side of the country to her my whole life.
Yep.
And I used to write her letters all the time,
yep,
cards for her birthday, L-O-R-I-S.
Yes.
Until I got the program for her funeral.
Oh.
And her name is spelled L-A-U-R-I-C.
Oh.
And so for 35 years, I'd been spelling her name wrong and she never said anything.
I mean, at least it, at least it sounded the same. At least it wasn't Betty or
exactly. Well, I think it was because my other nana was Doris. And so
Doris and Loris is
and
great.
Doris was D-O-R-I-S. So yes. I think I thought Loris was L-O-R-I-S, right? Anyway, the reason I bring you this tale is because there's a man named Alan who's in the news at the moment. And Alan thought his name was Alan with two L's.
A-L-L-A-N.
Yeah. So convinced that he's got two tattoos on his body of his name, Alan. In fact, they're both on his hand, which I find very
weird. He's got Alan and Alan on his hand.
On the same hand, he's got Alan written twice with double L's, his name
But on his top of his hand.
Yes, why would he
I was thinking of his knuckles.
No, on top of his hand, he has Alan in one kind of type of writing and then Alan again in another type of writing. So at least if he gets lost or they find him somewhere, they know who he is. Yeah, actually, Alan, maybe is his last name Alan. Maybe it's Alan Allen. Yeah, anyway.
Alan! Alan!
Is that why it's written twice, do you think?
I don't know. That goes on for a while.
Alan! Time, yeah. Alan!
What's that
Alan,
from? I say that often and don't know what I'm talking about. Alan!
I don't think I do either.
I think it's just a YouTube video.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Anyway, Alan has Alan with two L's on his driver's license, Alan with two L's on his wedding certificate, Alan on two L's everywhere.
Sounds
anyway,
like his name might
he's
be Alan.
Discovered since finding his birth certificate that he is Alan with one L.
Oh, my
God. And he's had it wrong his entire life.
Oh, my God.
And now he's got a double tat with double L's.
Is he changing the tattoos, Bickers?
No, and he can't. Obviously, he doesn't have a driver's license now, so he can't even drive to change his name because his driver's license got the wrong Alan. Anyway, so that's why I tell you the story of Loris.
I love do you want to talk about tattoos or dead grandparents that you miss every day?
Tattoos.
Okay.
Tattoo regret.
Okay.
I mean, if you do want to,
Yeah.
Give a shout out to Nan. You feel free to call.
To call 131060 call us.
Why not?
Oh my gosh.
Strictly shout outs to Romani on this show, I will remind
Loris.
You. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Tattoos that you got wrong?
Wrong tattoos.
Great.
Lots of people have them.
Or shout outs to dead relatives that you miss. This will be a real roller coaster.
No, just Nana, okay?
Oh, only Nana.
Yes.
Okay,
we're
sorry, Son.
No
time for your mum.
Oh,
what? Son said what she said.
I didn't hear you say your mum. Oh,
well,
my God. Now this is
Jesse.
Stop. Now this is too sad.
She said her mum. I didn't say
that. My nana lived a long, good life. Let's not get into that.
Well, we can't
territory.
All have people who
had
long,
sad.
Good
lives.
That's
right.
Actually, yes. So let's move on.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so can we just focus
on tattoos.
Incorrect tattoos?
Yes, we can.
Yes. Oh, so now we've got to tell all these people who called, sorry. You don't get a shout out to your dead person.
Shout out to my mum, Jan.
How's it spelled?
It's actually Janice.
Oh, there you go. Give us a call. What tattoo did you get and how wrong was it? Give us a call. 131060.
Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy for your Thursday afternoon and on 131060, tattoo regrets. And are we doing the other one? Shout out to
My Bickers wanted to do shout out to dead grandparents, no, but I think just, we are going to focus.
We were talking about my nana and how I'd gotten her name, spelling of her name wrong
it was
her
specifically
whole life.
Dead grandmas.
And I just wanted to say she was amazing and I gave her a shout out. And then I thought there's other people that might miss their nans too.
But we all agreed it was quite sad. And so we're going to focus on tattoos.
It became sad when Sonda shouted out to her mum and that made me feel sad. So let's just keep it at grandma's.
Okay. No, we said we would focus on the incorrect tattoos because Alan got.
Okay.
So Anna.
So just tattoos.
Anna, have you got a tattoo that is wrong?
No, I haven't because I'm only 13.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
I just wanted to shout out my grandma.
Oh, fair enough. Okay.
So hi, grandma.
Good. Good
it's
on
your
you.
Favourite granddaughter, just to let you know.
Oh, good on you, Anna.
Good on you, Anna. Thank you.
All right. Deb, talk to us about your tat. What is it wrong? Is it in the wrong place? Is it spelt wrong?
Sorry, was that Deb? Yeah, it's me?
Yep. It's you, Deb. Yep. What are you calling about?
I've given one story about a tattoo, but I also am happy to do a shout out for somebody who's deceased.
Okay. Do you want to start with a shout out, Deb? Let's go to the shout out.
My gorgeous mother-in-law. Not many people can say that about their mother-in-law.
That's true.
But my gorgeous mother-in-law is passed away nearly 4 years ago now, but I nursed her through the last 6 months of her breast cancer and very close. But every time I see a butterfly, I think of her and she's just lovely. So I know she's still around. Yeah.
Good on you, Deb. Deb, is the tattoo that you got, was that a butterfly?
No, it wasn't. But okay. my son, if you have time, my son worked on a cruise ship.
Yeah.
And he when he was 20 years old, worked on a cruise ship overseas. He wanted to get a tattoo. All the crew members said, yeah, Mexico, we'll go to Mexico. That's the place you'll get your best tattoos done. Okay.
Great place to get a tattoo.
Yeah, you're right, first tattoo.
Yeah.
So the crew, they went to Mexico, they got their tattoo done. And afterwards he sent me a photo on Facebook or message or something, I can't remember, but he said, look what I did today. And a map of Australia, and because he's very proud of being Australian, he is all Australian guy.
Yep.
And I'm looking at it and thinking, something's wrong.
That's got it done in Mexico? Was that the thing?
Yeah.
Yes.
He said, no, that's fine. He said, no, it's all right. He said, they Googled the map of Australia, printed it out, had a look at it, all that sort of thing. Yeah, that's fine. And that's what they went ahead with. And it wasn't a day or two later that we realised that it had actually been mirror image printed onto him. Because he looked in the mirror.
So Tassie was in the wrong spot there, Deb.
Well, everything was in
there. No, it didn't actually have Tassie.
Good on you, Deb. Thank you. David, have you got a tattoo story for us?
No, I was doing a shout out to my wife's dead grandmother. My wife was actually, I was listening to Carrie's story. And my wife found out when she went to the funeral, instead of one family turning up, two turned up because he had second family on the website.
Now that's a spicy shout out, David.
He got caught.
Yes.
He got caught by her.
Yeah.
He went away to the war in World War II. And when the war finished, he was getting repatriated. They sent all of his mail back to his home address. But he was also getting letters from the other side, so they all turned up on my wife's grandfather's grandmother's desk, and she opens it up and finds out that there's all these love letters from the other side of the family.
Wow.
But the best thing was that he actually named all the children exactly the same.
Oh, my gosh.
I felt like how he could remember. But if it was a boy, it might be Stephen. And if it turned out to be a girl, it'd be something like Stephanie. So that he could remember.
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Yeah, that is where you're at for your Thursday afternoon. One of the world's best athletes joining us very soon.
Thank you, but I'm here already.
Actually, she might have some tips for you. Oh, it's too late. Your swim's over, isn't it?
Yeah. And she finished hers.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's coming up. Hey, up next, though, because I need Australia's help because I have memories of a party destination in my mind of this pub that I remember visiting when I was young. I now can't find any traces of it ever existing. And I need to find out if it existed ever, or if not, can we do something like it? Anyway.
Well, it was just in your mind. Anyway, I've got questions.
We'll do it next.
Carrie and Tommy.
Harry Styles, late night talking for your Thursday afternoon. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Because I want to open a bar.
Yes, you've talked about this before.
Yeah, but that's kind of where the story starts, and then it got thrown into a different direction. Because I said to my friend, I want to do essentially like a recover bar, right? Something that's only open for like 5 hours in the middle of the day.
Oh.
You know, so it opens.
Oh, that feels like a lost opportunity.
It opens at like 12, shuts at like 5, and you just get there, you get in, you get rowdy, and then you're home. And he said to me, he goes, oh, like the church. And I'd forgotten completely about this joint, right? And now I've tried to look it up. I can't find out anything about it, if it ever existed.
Not the one off Chapel Street in Melbourne.
No. I have a memory. This was a bar over in the UK. And when we were there, when we were like 20 years old, I remember going out all night and then we would wait for the church to open. The church was this joint that was absolutely heaving. Didn't open till midday on a Sunday. And then you'd go in and it was just a party. Sawdust all over the floor because people like would spew on the floor and stuff like that. Their liquor licensing, I remember there must have been something dodgy about it because you'd buy like tickets and then you'd give tickets over and put your beers. I remember wearing my beers on a belt, but then you would just like party for a few hours and then leave, and it was almost like, did that ever happen?
Why? So what's the benefit in having it shut at five? Isn't it only if it kicks on, isn't that where you're going to make your money?
No, because you treat it like it's the middle of the night and the middle of the day, and then you get home in time to give the kids dinner, you pissed mum.
That's what I mean. How many people have a lifestyle where they're spending from 12 to 5 at the bar?
Me, Jesse, Eli, Sam, producer Belle, Georgia.
But they all have jobs. What days are they going? Saturday, Sunday. Yes. So it's only now open one day a week from 12 to 5.
Yes. Yes.
It's a very specific bar.
But limited edition is really in now.
But,
so.
But now I'm not sure if the church ever existed.
But we're now... So we're talking to an Australian audience. I thought it was only Aussies.
It was only Aussies and Kiwis.
Oh, but you'd go to it in the UK.
Yes, yeah. And yeah, I want to know, give us a call on 131060, because I don't know now, it's so long ago for me, if I'm just imagining this place existed, did it exist, did you go, and should we make another one here? Give us a call.
131060 is the number.
Carrie and Tommy.
Happy Thursday afternoon. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little, and on 131060. Have you been to church?
Basically, I want to open a bar.
Yeah, there we go. I thought my rendition was pretty good.
I want to open a bar, and it got to me and my mates talking with one of my friends. Oh, like the church. And
I was, because your weird bar is only open from like 12 to 5 in the afternoon.
On a Sunday, yeah. And my friends said, like the church. And I was like, oh, man. And I scanned back my memories. I remember going to this place called The Church in London. I remember sawdust on the floor. I remember being absolutely debaucherous, full of Aussies and Kiwis. But I can't really remember. I can't find anything about it now. And I want to know, have you been there, or is my memory playing tricks on me?
I don't think your memory is playing tricks on you, because so many people have called through to tell tales from the church. Sarah.
Hello.
What sins did you commit at the church?
Well, I do remember going to the church. I think it was in about 2001, 2002.
Yeah.
There was absolutely sawdust on the floor. And I remember getting clear plastic bags tied to my jeans,
yes,
filled with ice, and having beer put in there, like a 4-pack of beer. I think you'd buy tokens and then you'd go to the bar and get that.
Yes.
What, you'd keep them in the bag?
You'd rock around, because I remember
you just walk around like an esky.
Yeah. Sarah, yeah, you'd just walk around with a plastic bag hanging off the side of you. It was classy.
That's what I remember. I remember that being around my belt.
Yes.
And so it did exist, Sarah.
It totally did. I've had many times there.
So, Sarah, would you frequent a place like that if Tommy started one here that's only open in the afternoon from 12 to 5?
Look, being a mother of two now, I probably wouldn't. I'm sure there would be people that would.
Hey, Sarah, I remember it opening at like around midday, but yes, then my memory goes, when did it stay open into the night?
No, it finished, I reckon, about 5. I reckon you're about right.
Right.
And then you'd go to the Redback.
The Redback.
Or the Walkabout.
Oh, God, oh, now yeah, you're having over 2
Because I remember at the Slug having snake bite.
All these random names.
Yeah. Yeah. And you'd go and have snake bite.
And none of your clothes. You could just never wear any of your clothes again.
Oh, it was disgusting.
Why? Yeah.
Because of the red in the snake bites, you just end up covered in it.
Is
anyway.
The Slug the Slug and Lettuce? I remember seeing them when we were in London.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Honey.
Sarah, this is great. Michael. G'day, Michael.
How are you?
So, mate, I'm good. I mean, I'm trying to piece together a drunken memory of the church. Did you go?
Mate, I was there. I was living in London from 94 to 98, yeah, the back end of the 90s in London. That was the place to be, let me tell you.
Yeah.
So the memory's not too good, but you are correct. It did exist. I did frequent there, and you're right, because it was just debaucherous.
Yeah.
I don't understand what made it more debaucherous than any other place.
Well, I remember... Yeah, sorry, Michael, you go, brother.
No, I was just going to say, it's just like-minded Aussies and Kiwis in there on the end of a big night. We'd often get there after the Fridge nightclub in London, and we'd go straight to there when it opened up at midday, but the caller before was right, and then we'd end up, when it kicked us out, you go straight to the Walkabout Hotel in Earl's Court, and you just kick on.
Michael, I mean, do we need something like this here?
100%. I'm 50 next month and I'm dying for something like that.
Well, there's your target audience. There's your market,
Michael,
research.
How do you feel about the sawdust on the floor? Do you reckon we can do that
better than that, can't we?
Look, I think as an example for Sydney, for Sydney, well, first and foremost, Sydney's got too sophisticated. Let's bring back the sawdust. Yeah. Let's bring back the frazzlement of a Sunday just walking around not knowing where you are and where your friends are.
I like it. I like it. Let's go to Maxine. G'day, Maxine.
Hello, how are you?
Yes, so good. You do not have the accent of most of the people that frequented the church. Did you also go?
Yeah, I did. And I actually met my husband there. So
who was an Aussie, Maxine?
No, he's Zimbabwean, actually. But a lot of the Zimbabwean guys used to go there drinking. They'd go to the Slug and Lettuce, and we'd go to the walkabout as well.
What a wild day you're all having.
I've just had a note.
It was a wild life.
One of our producers has just told us that the church was open for 35 years and it closed back into 2015. Maxine, do you need another husband? Do we need to make one of these here? Well, you've heard it from Maxine.
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Around the country for your Thursday arvo, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. And NIB is more than just health insurance, guys. NIB.com.au.
They help with so much stuff. Stress, sleep, I could do a bit of help there. Self-improvement, mental well-being, all of it. Jump on board. It's not too late to start living health first.
Yes, because very special guest coming up next.
Who certainly knows how to live health first.
Bloody oath.
Certainly got a life together.
Yes.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
For your Thursday afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little driving
you
home.
Haven't we had, we've had nothing to do with it, you and I, Tommy. But hasn't Australia had a successful campaign in the pool at the Comm Games? Yes. 25 goals, and helping lead that medal tally is one of the brightest stars from Tassie. She is one, actually the first woman to win all three, 200, 400 and 800 metres, win gold in that at the same time in the Commonwealth. Can I speak? I'm excited.
Mate, you're
Commonwealth
just excited.
Games. Since 1970, we are talking about Ariane Titmus. This is her winning the 400.
Ariane Titmus in front. She's been in this position before. She knows how to win this event. The defending champion, the Olympic champion, the world record holder. She gets the treble. Arnie's so good and breaks the games record.
Thanks to Channel 7 for the audio.
How can you not get excited listening to that?
Ariane joins us now. Welcome.
Hey, guys.
How you feeling?
Look, I'm pretty tired. I had about 2 hours sleep last night, but I'm good. The week's over.
How does one party after becoming the first woman to win all three races since 1970?
Honestly, our room stashed like ice cream since day one getting into the village. So we had about 10 tubs to get through, but we hardly got through one. And I had a couple of glasses of champagne and that was pretty much it. And I kind of just stayed away. I hadn't even started packing at all. So I had to do that and we're all out of here pretty early this morning.
I imagine, obviously because you've been training so hard for so long, I imagine two glasses would be enough to send you sideways, is it?
Yeah, almost.
How did your amazing hip-thrusting coach, Dean Boxall, go? Was he excited?
Yeah, he was pretty happy with the week, I think. I mean, not just me, but our whole squad swam so well. We had, had such an amazing group go so well, especially with Molly and Elijah as well and Kia. So he's been really happy with the week, but he was pretty subdued last night, very quiet. I think he's a bit exhausted.
Is it hard, I imagine, because obviously for yourself, you're so successful, but sport is so cruel because you obviously have people who get to live out their dreams and win gold, and then you have people who try for their whole lives and don't. Do you have to measure how much you celebrate because you know you have teammates which maybe don't get as much success as you?
I think sometimes you have to be a bit, weary of other people's emotions and, not throw it in their face as such. But I think we're such a great team that everyone understands that you have to celebrate the high moments. Like, it's not very often that you come to a Commonwealth Games and win four gold medals. So I think you have to really celebrate those moments when they happen.
And you beat a 15-year-old. In the pool. Does that feel, I mean, you remember not so long ago what it felt like to be 15. Does that just feel cruel when that happens?
Yeah, I mean, I've been training in a squad since I was seven. So it's it's been a long time, and then, you know, on the national team since I was 16. So it's a lot, and but it's all worth it in the end. I mean, weeks like this is why we do it. The emotions that you feel with a team are, you know, priceless, and you create memories that, you know, you'll never have again, and not just at the pool, but back in the village with, you know, your team, and little moments happen that, you know, you just remember, and that, you know, that's why we do it.
There was, you know, obviously a lot of conversations and media reports about some of the stuff that was happening, you know, not in the pool, but outside the pool as well. How hard is it to just keep that focus? Everyone kept talking about how incredible the team was and how the team just kept focusing. Is it hard to do, or you've been training so long to get there that you just keep your eye on the prize and you can keep that focus?
Yeah, I mean, I think we train for those moments. Mentally, like, you know, there's a lot of noise going on, especially as a swim team. I feel like we, you know, you have a lot of pressure on us to perform at the Commonwealth Games because we're so dominant. And I think people back home are expecting us to win. So I think there is a lot that we have to block out, but I think we manage that really well. And you're right, like, we train for these moments, and why would you blow it in the final week when, you know, you've worked so hard for it? So I think that everyone really handled themselves really well this week.
Firstly, we're so proud, before we end the interview, we're so proud you achieved such incredible things for our country, and you can't help but get goosebumps when we watch you swim. So thank you. It's a lot of gold to bring home. How does one do it? Do you wear it around your neck? Do you chuck it in your hand luggage? What happens?
Well, I'm actually going on a bit of a European tour with my best friend for a month. So
amazing.
I will be handing over the medals to my mum and dad. They will safely take them home, hopefully in carry-on. I mean, there's been a lot of missing luggage overseas, so hopefully they take them through carry-on. But, yeah, they get to take the hardware home, which, you know, they'll take good care of them.
Well, have the best month. That makes me so excited for you that you're going off to do that. You enjoy every single minute of it, and thank you so much for bringing us so much joy.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
Carrie and Tommy.
Around the country for your drive home this afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
I was reminded recently by a friend how cruel siblings can be.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if I've told you this story or not, but we were drunk the other night, and my friend was telling me. I was like, that's right. So he was one of five, and he was the youngest of five. And when he was growing up, they'd get one, like, Cadbury's Favourites box or whatever it was, or the biscuits where you get the Monte Carlos and the, what are the other ones, delicious ones, the pink in the middle, Kingston's.
And he'd get left with the teddy bears. This always happens with me with those variety boxes of little cereals.
Yes.
And because I was I was the youngest as well, my brother and sister, they'd take things like Cocoa Pops and Nutri-Grain, and I would get left with, like, Sustain or the one that only had two Wheat-Bix in it, and you're like, God. Come on!
Okay, well, this is what used to happen to him.
Yes.
But only they were more sinister about it. They would all pretend to love the orange chocolate or the orange biscuit and race for it and fight over but never actually grabbing, letting him win, so that every single time he had the shittest biscuit and the shittest chocolate and they got the nice one. That's evil.
When did he
he'd be like, yeah,
I love eating this orange. Oh, this ice Vovo is delicious.
But he said he developed a love for it because it's he's got this nostalgic feeling with his winning and having this delicious thing as a kid. That's the worst taste
ever. How did they break the news to him?
Oh, he said it was like his 18th. Or like when he was a teenager, they kept it going through their whole entire time.
I bet you was
together.
At a big party where all he's got for catering is orange biscuits. You're like, these suck.
Carrie and Tommy.
You drive home this Arvo, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Bickers, out of everything I wear, what do you think the worst item of fashion is?
Oh, God, this is a trick question, isn't it?
No.
What is the worst
that's
item?
Easy.
What is the worst thing you wear?
Hmm.
Those glasses. Those terrible glasses.
Which ones?
Remember the Ray Charles ones?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, they're gone.
Are they? Yeah, thank God. You got them at the servo. You can now admit you did, didn't you? Oh, no, you did.
Get them
at
the servo.
Got them at the servo. Right. Oh, no, they were hundreds of dollars. Yeah. That's right. It's all coming back to me anyway. They are terrible. You don't really wear. Oh, sorry. One other thing is the watch. The ladies' watch.
Oh, the ladies' watch is gone as well.
So other than the ladies' watch and your terrible glasses, I think you've got pretty good. Oh, actually, and your jeans that need to be replaced.
I like
you know,
those
with the big
jeans.
Holes.
Yes, I know.
I was
well.
Thinking the other day when I saw a photo of you in Montreal. Mm-hmm. It was your big stage moment. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you wear them on stage with the holes in the crutch?
5,000 people filmed for American TV. Absolutely, I did.
Because they're your security blanket, aren't they?
They are. They're my blankie. Yeah, they're my lucky jeans.
They're your lucky jeans. So how do we progress past your lucky jeans, because you cannot keep wearing them in public?
Find me another lucky item of clothing, mate.
But you realise that your talent is what's getting you to Montreal, not your lucky jeans.
That's not true, my jeans.
No, it's
they
not.
Said, they actually asked me, they said, hey, have you got your jeans? Because otherwise we're not going to put you on stage.
Okay, so they're not the item of clothing you're talking about. What happens when they actually fall apart?
Do you know what was very hurtful? Because I had to do a rehearsal for the show, right, cause where they check the cameras and all the stuff like that. And they asked me, they said, hey, and what are you going to be wearing tonight?
Oh, of course
I said,
they did.
I said, this. And they went, oh. Oh, no, okay, because everyone else had suits and
yes,
stuff
they
like
had
that.
Clothes. You just look like you've worn the... Yeah. Yeah. So, first of all, will you ever change those jeans?
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
I mean, washing
one
them
wrong
would be
step
a good start.
No, I do wash them because it's the only thing that kind of holds them together, chucking them in the dryer, because it shrinks the holes down a bit, because I'm so close to popping a nut when I walk that I have to shrink them a bit.
One way to go viral anyway. But no, that I'm assuming that's not the item of clothing that's the problem.
I'm actually interested because Jesse said, oh, that's easy, when I said, what's the worst item of clothing? Jesse, what do you think it is?
Socks and Crocs.
There. Jesse is on... Jesse is on the money. The Crocs is my most complained about item.
But
of
you're
clothing.
Kind of wearing them ironically, aren't you?
Absolutely not.
I think you are.
I'm not. No.
Well, you should be. Okay.
Well, guess what? I am in the same boat as this woman, Kerry Tattersley, who was she was tidying up her garden when a similar item, according to Crocs, saved her life. She was wearing rubber slides, which, as you know, I also love wearing socks and slides. And it saved her life. Do you want to know what she was doing? She was vacuuming her grass.
What?
She's got fake grass out the back, and she was vacuuming it.
And what happened?
She got electrocuted. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
How?
She ran over a bit of the extension cord and something must have been exposed. And it shocked her and threw her back. She went to the doctors and the doctors said...
Your Croc saved you.
Yeah. It acted as an insulator, the rubber, and if not, it could have killed you.
I told you how Chris electrocuted himself using the lawnmower, the plug-in lawnmower, and then he ran over the cord. Yeah, like, babe, just let's leave it to the experts.
Have you got him Crocs?
I'll
get him some Crocs. I'll save his life.
I still want to sleep with him.
You can take them off.
Follow Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little on socials at Carrie Tommy Show. Now that the show's over, you can find more of Carrie and Tommy in the podcast. NIB are more than just health insurance. They're a health partner. Put your health first and join NIB today. Visit nib.com.au.